Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, January 11th, 2021. I'm joined by Alex Brown from Cornwall, England. Alex, how are you holding up with the latest lockdown over there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're back into lockdown. For me personally, it's fine because I'm in a nice remote place. But yeah, it's definitely in the UK, there's a lot of stress right now on the national health system.
Yeah, and I think I would say the same for France and obviously for the US, although I feel like last week things were overshadowed by the craziness in the US. And I know we don't really talk politics on this podcast, but you know, I live abroad and I'm American, but I live in France. And I think that when you live abroad, you have a lot of pride in your country and I think you kind of see it through a magnifying glass. It's like under the lens, you know. And I was really embarrassed last week watching the U.S. Capitol being kind of breached by protesters and, kind of put under siege for a period of time, which I just couldn't believe it. I just really was difficult to watch for me as an American abroad. But I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was entirely embarrassing having lived in the States for nearly 28 years and obviously very proud of the fact that I did do that and working at the Wharton School for several years. I mean, at the end of the day, Graham, this is an appalling situation in which we've come to at this point. But yeah, we're not a politics show, so let's get on with what we think we know yes. We're good at anyway.
Yeah. And I did want to apologize. Last week, our podcast did not get into everybody's Apple or Spotify feeds until Tuesday. We had obviously, Alex, you and I don't really know what we're doing on the tech side of things. And there's some kind of glitch, but it's fixed. And so everyone should be hearing this as you always do. And sorry for the delay last week. Last week was also, though, a busy week, Alex, on the MBA admissions front for applicants. Do you want to just give us a recap and what we have to look forward to in terms of this week?
Yeah. I mean, last week, obviously, the first full week after the new year, traditionally round two application deadlines, and last week proved that tradition persists. I think there were 19 schools that we cover or 18 schools that we covered that had deadlines last week. This week upcoming, it seems like there's one deadline each week for schools that we're covering. So there's five or six other schools that have round two deadlines, Stern's round three, I think. But coming up this week, and I think the only outlier after this week will be Sloan, which will be the following week.
Yeah, I think there are like another nine deadlines this week, there's a bunch of them. Yeah. So it's going to be busy. Yeah, and then MIT sits out I think they're on the 19th of January. So yeah, lots to be working on. And I know applicants have been hard at work because we see those live wire posts coming in with people indicating they've applied. So yeah, lots going on. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we did a few more Real Humans. So we've got Rochester, Simon School is up, as well as ASU, Cary. And we also did a profile on the Chicago Booth Employment Report. So that's there. And we also made a plea for folks to share their admissions journey on DecisionWire. And if you've never used DecisionWire, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you must know what DecisionWire is. But if you don't, it's a tool where you can indicate where you applied, where you got in, how much money you were given in scholarships, if any, and where you're thinking of going, or you can indicate that you don't know where you want to go. And those entries are a lot of fun for applicants to sift through, and we often profile them on this program. So keep those coming in as you make your decisions or as you have trouble making your decisions. Alex, anything else that you wanted to cover this week? I would ask for reviews, but we just haven't seen any of late. So I'm a little despondent on that front. But is there anything that you wanted to tackle before we move into the wiretaps portion?
No, I think we should kick on. Yeah.
All right. So without further ado, this is Wiretaps Candidate Number One. So this person is applying to six schools, and those schools are Columbia, Harvard, Wharton Lauder, Stanford, and Yale. And they're looking to start in the fall of 2022. So they're not applying right now. They're going to be applying next season, basically. They've been working in sales and business development. They want to get into either consulting or investment banking, which are two often like diametrically opposed sort of like areas to go into, but we'll get into that. And they listed a bunch of companies, but depending on which path they take, it's going to be different. So we'll just move on from there. GRE score, 325. GPA is a 3.4. This person has 3 years of work experience, is located in the Netherlands currently, and is hoping to end up maybe in New York City in the US. And I just have to start, Alex, before we get into it. They said, first off, Alex and Graham, I love your podcast. I'm a very long time listener, 2 years plus. And if I'm featured, that would be cool. So here you go. So we'll get into it. But Alex, do you want to talk about this candidate? I mean, there's some interesting background stuff in the sense that this person is from a French-speaking African country and then moved to Europe for undergrad and has stayed and worked there. But do you want to get into the rest of it? Because this is an interesting profile, and they had some questions about their strategy for next year.
Yeah, I mean, they're working for an additional year. So you did say they have 3 years of experience, but obviously that will sort of hit that 4 years next season, which is probably more the median of candidates applying to top business schools. Their numbers 325 and 34 aren't outstanding, but they sort of put this person in the running at some of the top schools. But certainly their work experience and their life experience are really going to be help them stand out a little bit, I think, Graham. I mean, they're from Africa, obviously experience in Africa, now experience in Europe and in the Netherlands. That should play quite well. They've had some unfortunate sort of life experiences. Their partners passed away and so on and so forth, having to deal with that. They've had, you know, some entrepreneurial experience, some healthcare experience and various other sort of professional experiences that all sounds really good. So quite frankly, Graham, I think this is a sort of candidate that if they can write their story and do it effectively through their applications, they're going to have some really good opportunities at the very best schools that are out there. One of the questions that they had in terms of applying to round one or round two next season, if they can get all their ducks in the row in time. To be honest, my point of view, and I know we differ a little bit on this particular topic, my point of view is this person shouldn't care round one or round two, other than that they're going to hear sooner. And one of the programs they're looking at is Wharton Lauder, and maybe there is some value in hearing sooner with that program because the program actually starts in May of the following year. So that would make sense. But yeah, overall, Graham, there's a lot to like here. This person can make impacts, can do interesting things in the long run. The other question that's sort of brought up here is consulting versus investment banking. I'll let you talk to this a little bit more in detail, but when you go to business school, you better choose one or the other because you'll be overwhelmed if you try to recruit for both simultaneously.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I'll speak to that now. I mean, I think, you know, they mentioned that they hope to get an MBA and then go back to Africa at some point and work on helping small healthcare firms grow and find funding. And so they talked about maybe a consulting path, which would give them kind of good problem solving skills. And frankly, if they were to do consulting and end up doing some healthcare related consulting, that could be a nice match, right? Whereas the banking path, I have a harder time sort of figuring out. And also when you look at what they've done to date, which has been more healthcare oriented, they've done some, kind of startup related stuff too. But I think biz dev, healthcare, it maps more readily to like a consulting path than it would to going to a bank in New York or something. So that was my first thought. The other thing is that this candidate wanted to know about round one or round two within the context of the fact that they may get a promotion. It's at some point, and they're not sure if the promotion would happen by round one app deadlines. And they're thinking, should I wait and apply in round two to be assured of having that promotion as a kind of feather in their cap when they apply, or does it matter? And so my stance had been, you know what, just apply in round one if you're ready. I'm not as worried about the promotion, especially since they could probably, you know, the recommender, or they could even indicate that it's kind of forthcoming or, you know, potentially forthcoming as a way to just demonstrate, you know, progress. I also was just thinking about this as an international candidate. Lauder starts in May. Some of these other programs, just the sooner you can get in, the sooner you can get your visa and get your ducks in a row to kind of come to the U.S. The other thing was that sometimes scholarship dollars are more abundant in the early rounds. And so I was just thinking about that as well. But I do hear you. They're not overrepresented. In fact, not only are they from a French-speaking African country, have moved to, you know, Europe and live in the Netherlands, they're also LGBT. They do some interesting extracurriculars. So there's a lot of diversity in this candidacy that will help them stand out. So they don't need to be in round one to stand out. I was just thinking more of the practicality and maybe the dollars when it comes to scholarship. But I hear your point. They could absolutely survive in round two. Do you think they should wait, though, with respect to the promotion? Should that be the triggering mechanism or no?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you in terms of there's no real need to wait for the promotion. I mean, you could, it can be made clear in other ways, I think, in the application that it's forthcoming, especially if the recommender can make note of that. The other question that the candidate had, maybe you can respond to this, Graham, is the fact that they're potentially switching industries or switching careers. Does the promotion have the same value if it's from a different career? My response was it shouldn't matter. A promotion is a promotion and it signals how well you've done, regardless of whether you're switching careers. So it remains as important. I didn't know what your point of view is on that.
So you mean they were suggesting that given that what they're currently doing is not necessarily in line with what they're hoping to do post-MBA, that does a promotion matter? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think, like you said, a promotion is a promotion. Yeah. It shows that you're, you know, diligent, hardworking, good at your job. And so that's, you know, you can translate that to future success in another role as well. So, yeah, I'm okay with that. So, I want to thank this person for sharing. I can't believe they've been listening to the podcast for 2+ years.
They might have been listening to the podcast longer than it's actually been broadcast, Graham. I'm not even sure we've been going 2+ years, have we?
I you know what? I've lost track. I don't even know. Wiretaps is like 70-some episodes old, but I don't know beyond that. Yeah,
yeah, maybe we've got a lot of episodes. We did actually do some podcasts earlier than that with...
that's true.
No doubt.
So, all right, well, let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number 2. So this is another ApplyWire entry. This person has 9 schools on the target list. They want to start school next fall. And the schools are Columbia, Harvard, MIT, Kellogg, Stanford, Booth, UCLA, Wharton, and Yale. The GMAT score is a 730, GPA a 3.8, 5 years of work experience, and it's all been in the U.S. military, I believe, and they want to get into consulting after business school. And they did indicate, this is kind of an interesting ApplyWire entry, because this person's already applied to several of these schools in round one, and they indicate that they really want in the long term to get into social impact, but in the short term it's going to be consulting. And they mentioned that they applied to Harvard and were deferred to round two. So they applied this fall. University of Chicago, they applied in round one and were waitlisted. Wharton, they were rejected after interviewing. And Stanford, they were rejected but without an interview in round one this year. So the rest of these programs, which I'll remind you are Columbia, MIT, Kellogg, UCLA, and Yale, are programs that they're going to be applying to in round two. So what do you make of this? Because this is a... an interesting conundrum. Like they've got, you know, some feedback from round one. They've gone back out there because they didn't get any positive results. What do you make of this?
Yeah, very, very interesting candidate. So yeah, let's look at how they've performed in round one specifically. They didn't get an interview at Stanford. Well, that's not an extraordinary data point because Stanford admits so few in their class that there can be some outstanding folks that don't even get to the interview stage. They've been deferred into round two from Harvard. Again, Harvard's right at the top of the pile. So we're not going to learn a whole lot from that. But then it's a little bit puzzling that they weren't successful after the interview at Wharton. So that's starting to make us realize where they sit in that sort of hierarchy. They're in terms of Booth, you said they're on the wait list. So they're sitting in that M7 group, just a little lower than the three elites from the M7 group. And they're applying in round two to Columbia, Sloan and Kellogg. Graham, surely one of these three M7 programs is going to reach out for this candidate. You can make the point that in round two, your applications will be stronger than in round one, simply through the learning process and the learning curve going through this process. So let's make the assumption that his round two or her round two applications are slightly stronger. They've applied to Columbia, Sloan, and Kellogg. I don't give them a lot of chance at Columbia because Columbia doesn't like the fact that you didn't apply early decision. So there's a negative there. They can still get admitted at Columbia, but there's a little bit of a setback there. But certainly with Kellogg and Sloan, Graham, I'm thinking, and a Booth waitlist, and a defer Harvard into round two, he or she has to be successful. Their numbers are fantastic. 3.8x, I assume that means 3.8 something. GPA, 7.30 GMAT. Military experience is typically going to be strong experience. Hopefully it is strong experience. They're able to articulate that. Consulting straight out of the MBA is reasonably standard for someone with military experience. So that's nothing unusual there. Social impact, very good. I'm really hoping this person lands in the sweet spot somewhere, Graham.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree that, like, you know, you look at on the surface, you say 5 years of military experience, good numbers. Why are they not, you know, they got to get into one of these schools. And yet I'm a little worried, right, because of the Wharton news. The Harvard, I just chalk up to maybe Harvard being a bit conservative about, you know, wanting to hang on to some applicants into round two. I mean, but if they didn't make the cut at Stanford or Wharton, I would not bank on that Harvard kind of coming through. It's always hard to get into, you know, Harvard off the, you know, wait list or hold list anyway. And so it's good that they're reaching out. And I think it's great that they have UCLA and Yale on the list in round two, because you never know. I mean, they were kind of a wait list candidate at Booth. Wouldn't be so far-fetched to say, well, you know, Columbia and MIT are pretty super competitive and, you know, maybe Kellogg will give them a shot. It's hard to say. The thing that stuck with me and that I'm worried about is there something going on in their candidacy or their strategy? For example, maybe they didn't make a compelling case for this social impact goal. Like, I don't know what their extracurriculars are or what it is about their background that would make a social impact storyline in the long term fit. And as you said, the consulting short-term goal, okay, that makes sense. I mean, it's not a lot of people go into consulting and military folks included, right? So, but I'm just wondering if there's not a kind of strategic misstep happening somewhere, you know, in the application process for this candidate. So I would encourage them to look over everything they submitted for those first batch of schools and hopefully they can find, you know, some ways to better tell their story, or there's just something missing for me. Mm. But again, hopefully something will hit for them in round two. I had that nagging kind of fear that, like, I wonder what's going on here.
Some might speculate, Graham. So let me throw a counterpoint to you and get your thoughts on this. That Booth waitlists them because Booth is concerned that maybe this person is going to Harvard, Stanford, or Wharton because they do have great numbers. They do have that military experience. Everything makes sense. Let's assume they did actually execute on their candidacy really well. Is there a chance that actually a school or two in this mix would, well, in terms of Booth, could they be hedging a little bit?
It's possible. And what I would recommend this candidate do is obviously, you know, pursue a waitlist strategy. I mean, don't just sort of be like, okay, my name's on the list. I can now go about applying to these other schools in round two and sit back. If Booth allows them to communicate any, you know, updates or new information, or if they can get a letter of support from an alum or a current student, any of those things might help. We have a whole guide on our website for, you know, on how to navigate the waitlist that you can download. I would recommend reading that if you haven't. I feel like, you know, you make a good point. It's possible that in round two, good things could happen. But if Booth is hedging, they would need to show their hand to Booth and, you know, be kind of outright or forthright about how they're dying to go there. And if they're admitted, they're showing up. You know, that would be the needed strategy.
And that point that you just made, if you're on a wait list, the number one issue that a school that puts you on the wait list is going to be concerned with is if they admit you, will you come? All the other stuff's important, but they don't want to admit anyone off their wait list who's going to impact their yield in a negative way.
Yeah, I would say, if you're on the wait list, there's usually a reason. It could be hedging, but it could also be that there's a flaw in your candidacy or, you know, something that they're lacking. And so to the extent you can identify what that is and get after it, that's always important. And then, as you say, you got to, you know, convey that you want to attend if you're admitted. That's a huge thing. So anyway, I wish this person the best of luck. Also want to thank them for their service. Thanks for posting and stuff. But I think, you know, get those apps in round two, pursue that wait list with Booth, and we'll see where the chips fall.
Very good.
All right, so let's move on. We have one more Wiretaps candidate. This is Wiretaps candidate number 3.
We might break a record today, Graham. We should chat for a little bit because this episode might be less than 30 minutes.
Good point. So we'll see. Maybe there's a lot to debate on this third candidate. So this is Wiretaps candidate number 3. And this is a Decision Wire entry that we pulled from the site. And the candidate applied to Kellogg and Stern. And they were admitted to both. In the case of Kellogg, they were offered a $20,000 scholarship. And with Stern, they were offered 80, and they claim it's a full ride. So I'm guessing that means 80 a year, same with the 20. Usually these are annual figures that were given out. So they're obviously starting school this fall, and they don't know where to go. And that's why they posted to Decision Wire as an undecided. Their post-MBA career is in nonprofit and social impact. The GMAT score that they applied with was a 730. GPA 3.66. This candidate is in Boston, and they asked the question in their post. They said, does anyone have an opinion of which school is better for social impact? They said, I have a full ride to Stern versus only 20K to Kellogg. And they said, obviously Kellogg is higher ranked, but I really want to go to whichever school is better for social impact. Any input would be appreciated. So Alex, do you want to weigh in? Because I know you and Elliot from our team did have some conversation with this candidate.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very difficult decision. It's the sort of a typical decision that top candidates have to make. The school in the higher tier versus a school in the slightly lower tier, still a very good school with a lot more money. If you're looking at the sort of elite recruiting options like, you know, private equity, venture capital, MBB consulting, maybe top tech firms or whatever, the absolute advice is always go to the very best school that you can get into, because ultimately the career opportunities and the network opportunities that you'll yield from the better school will pay in the very long run, hand over fist over taking the scholarship money in the short run, right? So there's that argument if you're going after these elite careers. So the question is, and I'll push this back to you, Graham, because I don't know what the answer is, quite frankly, is this person going after an elite career? They want social impact, but they want to go to the program that offers the best opportunities within social impact. But should that be treated in the same sort of way that you would treat an elite career like MBB consulting, mm-hmm. top banks or private equity or whatever it is? I am truly torn with this, because also added to the equation is this person wants some non-profit experience coming out of the MBA, and we know traditionally that they're not going to get a great pay packet taking that option versus, again, if they did MBB consulting or something like that. So it truly is a big conundrum.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll just to add to the confusion here, they said in the long term, I want to do corporate social responsibility. But in the short term, as you said, they want to gain experience at a nonprofit or doing social impact consulting. So it's tricky. And the reason I mention that is because, you know, if they want to be like head of CSR for Amazon or Google or, you know, any big kind of brand name out there, that's kind of, you know, that's probably a decent paying job. And it's a job where your network might matter quite a bit too, right? Whereas, you know, and also when it comes to the short term, if they want to do social impact consulting by going to, I'm going to forget the name of, I think Bain has a special arm, is it called the Bridge Group or something?
Yeah,
they,
Bridge,
you know,
Spam.
Bridgespan. Yeah. They have these separate, you know, elements. Even McKinsey does some of this social impact consulting stuff. And so, again, then you're talking about big brand firms. And so going to the best school may open the most doors. But it's tricky. I also think, and I know I kind of harp on this every week now, but, you know, going to Kellogg and their kind of, you know, K campus on the outskirts of a large city with, you know, pretty stunning new facilities on the lake, versus going to Stern, where you're in the heart of Manhattan, down in the village there. They're just two really different experiences, right? And so I think, you know, this candidate needs to think about that as well. The money is tricky too. I mean, a free ride is a free ride. Like, it's hard to walk away from a free ride. And as you know, our DecisionWire data suggests that Stern is in that next batch of schools, you know, right after the M7, right, with maybe Yale and Haas, and I feel like maybe Tuck as well, right? Yeah. There's, you know, so it's tricky. I mean, these schools are not that far apart. In fact, all the schools that we talk about on this podcast are all really superb. So we're splitting hairs, right? So it's a tricky, this is a not an easy decision. I don't envy this person. But what I would do is I would actually reach out to the head of career services at both programs and have a frank discussion about what realistically, what kinds of placements are available in this kind of nonprofit, social impact consulting, CSR, like what's the school's track record there? And are there any alums that the career office could put this person in touch with who are working in that domain? That could, you know, serve a couple of purposes. One, you're kicking the tires on the schools, but also you maybe make some connections that are useful to you as you move forward in your career. So I would do some due diligence and also think about culture and fit. You know, the money's important too. Obviously, that's, you know, it's hard to deny.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents.
Yeah, I mean, I think, frankly, you know, if hopefully the person ends up listening to the podcast and, you know, we could talk all day about which is a better choice and this, that, and the other. And quite frankly, we can't come up with an answer. It's a very difficult puzzle. But your advice, talk directly to the career arms of each of the programs. Talk directly to alums that have followed a similar path and do this legwork. It'll take time, it'll take quite a lot of effort, but it'll be very, very important, I think, is to do exactly what you just said, Graham.
Yeah, and the last thing I would add is that one of the great things about having an offer from these schools is that, you know, you're able to reach out to, you know, alums or, yeah, you know, career services people, and they'll be, I mean, not that they're not available to you when you're just a prospective student who's applying, but things change a little bit when you've got an offer in hand. And so don't be bashful or shy about asking questions. I mean, you don't want to, you know, be bossy or anything, but, you know, you can ask these questions and they should be willing to, you know, bend over backwards to help you find an answer, you know, to them so that you can make a decision. So I think this person should, you know, go all in and figure this out and make an informed choice. Ordinarily, I would say go spend time on campus too. Obviously, we live in different times right now that don't make that super easy, but in any event, so yeah, best of luck to this person as they decide. Anything else on this candidate, Alex?
No, I just wish them the best of luck.
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, we've been talking about, you know, new ideas for the podcast, and we're going to roll some of them out in 2021, I promise. But if anyone wants to reach out to us and come back on the show after having been featured, or just, you know, you have a question you want to ask, you can always send an email to info@clearadmit.com. That's info@clearadmit.com. And just use the subject wiretaps and it'll find its way to Alex and myself. And we will try to work something out if you want to come on the show or if you have a question that you just want us to ask. We'd be happy to entertain those. Other than that, Alex, I think we've run through our wiretaps and I guess we'll come back in 1 week's time. But, you know, great of you to pick these out as always. Appreciate your work on it.
Yeah, no, very good. Best of luck, everyone. Stay safe. And let's hope we have a nice, normal, quiet week ahead.
All right. Sounds good. See you next week.
Take care.